time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
All right, happy Friday out there. Polly Howard, Matt Humans, Mitch out today. Ron Flatter coming up to talk horse racing later in the hour, and Dennis Bernstein on the NHL. And we'll talk about the formats and when we can expect hockey back and what they're going to do with the best of five and best of seven and so on in the first couple rounds. Matt Holt to talk UFC as well, and Jeff Davis from Caesars. Okay, so this has been FTM@VSiN.com. You want to email FTM@VSiN.com or tweet at us at MattHumans247 or Paulie Howard with a Y. So Brady Cannon had his list, which is a horror show for Point Spread Weekly. Now the big what's it called? The big hand for the little lady. I'm gonna watch that this weekend. I found that you just talk into your remote, and if this is available on my Cox system they have here, I'm gonna watch that. It's from 1966, so that's available. I'm gonna rent that for $2.99 over the weekend, and maybe go to the park. Those are my big plans, and watch the UFC.
Wow.
But that's on his list. But I mean, this is just, I have Casino number one. Mitch has it number two. I know you're high on Casino as well. We'll get to your list in a second. Brady doesn't have Casino in the top 10. And Tony Macklin came out of the woodwork yesterday on Twitter, film critic, and he was just disgusted as well with Brady's list. But Casino is phenomenal. Get out of here. If you don't think it's a gambling movie, you're out to lunch. Casino is number one. And with the Grounders, a close second in my book.
Tony Macklin, one of America's great film critics. He's actually taught at Dayton and UC Santa Barbara. He's been in Vegas for many years. What's that?
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know where he taught there. Yeah,
He's got an extensive background, very impressive background, Tony Macklin. A few years ago, he and I argued a little bit about Casino. Some people don't think that's a gambling movie. I don't understand.
That's absurd. Isn't that absurd?
Yeah, I do think it's absurd.
They do 15 to 20 minutes on the skim. Most of the movie takes place in a casino. You got the slot machine director. You got De Niro with the dice. They got the whole blackjack scene. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy to me.
If you have multiple gambling scenes, to me, it's a gambling movie. I understand it's a drama, but it's also a gambling movie. So I was stunned, Paul, when Brady left Casino out of his top 10. So if you read his top 10 gambling movies and Point Spread Weekly, Casino was not on the list, and it was stunning to me. I've always had Casino number one and Rounders two. To me, it's a pretty easy 1-2 on the list. And The Color of Money for me is number three. I've loved this movie since I was a kid, and to me, it's just a little bit better than The Hustler. I can see how some people might want to flip-flop those two, but I've always liked The Color of Money a little bit better than The Hustler, uh-huh, which I have at number six. So you got Casino, Rounders, Color of Money, The Cincinnati Kid, with Steve McQueen.
Yep.
Cincinnati Kid's a classic. So is The Sting at number five. I said The Hustler. The Gambler is that's a classic from way back as well. I think you have
did
to,
you
have to
see,
go ahead.
Did you see the one with Mark Wahlberg, the remake?
I did not see that version of it, no. Did you?
All right. Yes, I did. Okay. I thought it was close, maybe if not better.
Okay.
Welcome in. Follow the Money, VSiN, Paulie Howard, Matt Humans. We're discussing top 10 gambling movies. FTM@VSiN.com is the email. I encourage you to check it out. There's some really good scenes in there, and Mark Wahlberg gives a great performance, and there's a great start to the movie as well, where it's like, I've been there before. I mean, some tough scenes with Mark Wahlberg. And actually asks his mom to go to the bank and give him $250,000. Okay. Continue with you. Now, why do you have Eight Men Out on your list? This, I don't know about this one.
That's a sports gambling movie. What are you talking about? I love this. To me, it's probably, let's see, what's your favorite baseball movie of all time? Would it be The Natural, Bull Durham? I loved Eight Men Out.
Where's Major League?
Well, it's not really a gambling movie, is it?
No, you said baseball. You said, what's your favorite baseball movie? You think Eight Men Out's just because they fixed the World Series, you're going to count it as a gambling movie?
Oh, of course. Is that not a sports betting / gambling movie? The Black Sox? I think it's definitely a gambling movie. Anyway, I had number one, Casino, for those just tuning in. Throw that graphic up again if you can real quick. Casino, Rounders, Color of Money, Cincinnati Kid, The Sting, The Hustler, The Gambler. I'll have to watch the new version you talked about. Eight Men Out. California Split is a really good, it's an old school gambling movie. If you haven't seen it, Paul, have you seen California Split?
Yes, it's very good, but just missed my top 10.
Okay.
Just like Let It Ride. Let It Ride got a ton of support yesterday on Twitter and with the emails. Dreyfuss is fantastic. He does a great job, a top-notch performance. I just have it outside my top 10.
Yeah, California Split's right there at number 9 for me. Let It Ride, number 10. And Dreyfuss has that one day at the races where he wins everything. And it's a very entertaining movie. That's my top 10. I had several other candidates. I mean, Ocean's 11, Bugsy, Maverick 21, Owning Mahoney was very close. Bad Lieutenant, very close. How about High Roller, the Stu Unger story? Have you seen that?
I had that. Yes, I had that down as honorable mention, too.
That almost made number 9 or number 10 on my list. Very close. That's a damn good movie. The Cooler, Casino Royale. How about Vegas Vacation? Do you consider that a gambling movie or not?
I can't even remember. Nicolas Cage? Who's in that?
No,
or is that Chevy Chase?
That's Chevy Chase.
Oh, Nicolas Cage. What's the Honeymoon in Vegas? Is that what it is?
Honeymoon in Vegas and Leaving Las Vegas is Nicolas
Cage. Leaving Las Vegas.
This one, actually, Leaving Las Vegas is one of my 10 favorite movies of all time. But I'm not sure it qualifies as a gambling movie. You do have... You have a scene or two where he's in a casino and he's drunk and he flips the table over and says, but I can't classify that as a gambling movie, even though I love Leaving Las Vegas. So I left that and Vegas Vacation out. Kelly, you were nodding your head. Do you think Vegas Vacation is a gambling? You do think it's a gambling movie. I mean, it's a classic.
I can't even remember. How many scenes are in that work?
It's hilarious. I would say there are, 5 to 10 gambling scenes in the movie, maybe? They play some corny casino games. I think they play rock, paper, scissors at a table in a casino. Play, guess the number, things like that. Anyway, the ones that were close to making my list, High Roller, The Stu Unger Story, Bad Lieutenant, Owning Mahoney. I thought 21 was actually really good.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
It didn't make my top 10, but I thought it was pretty good. Why? What was wrong with it?
I was so disappointed in that. I didn't like it at all because the book was so good.
You know, I didn't even put Molly's Game on the list because I haven't seen it. And when you had Houston Curtis on the show a couple times, he said the movie was not an accurate depiction of how things actually happen, so I left Molly's Game off the list.
Right. Well, because of that? Okay. Well, all right. That's fine. I thought it was entertaining, but Heart 8, this is what we got on feedback. Heart 8. Actually, I did see that. It was good cast. Paul Tro's in it. Samuel L. Jackson. Bookman's in it from Seinfeld. Flamingo Kid. Again, all these lists, when I was researching this, because I didn't want to make sure I left anybody out, everyone's got Croupier on their list. I haven't seen it. And we got a lot of tweets on that, too, with Clive Owen. I can't find it anywhere.
I've seen it. I wasn't crazy about it. And, you know, if I made a top 20 list, it would not have been on my top 20. But I know some people love that movie.
Okay.
Somebody just tweeted me and said, how about Kingpin? Why is that not on your list?
Get out of here. I'll go. Sports movies, one thing. Okay. Very good. Now, this was a huge reaction last week. One guy came after me on email and ripped me because he didn't like the fish sandwich at Burger King. So he had a bad experience and he'll never follow one of my recommendations again. Okay, well, tough beat. All right, Apollo. I think it's a great fish sandwich. You do too. Hey, Jordan didn't score 40 every game either, pal. So how about your top 12 common man restaurants?
You know, I say this about Burger King a lot, too. To me, the service is like hit and miss, Paul. Sometimes you show up and you get a great quality sandwich. Other times you show up and you get one that's been sitting under a heat lamp, it seems like, for an hour. So maybe that guy just showed up on a bad day.
Possible.
You were trying to get me to go to the Palms last year to a fancy restaurant or two. You had some comps. Palms has some great restaurants. But those don't qualify for my list of top 12 restaurants for the common man. It's not the common man doesn't always have hundreds of dollars of comps, and he can't go to the fanciest restaurants in town, right? You're not the common man, Paul.
All right, fine.
One class above that.
Well, I'm not normal, so that's, yes.
Number one on my top 12 restaurants for the common man is Benihana. We actually got one at the Westgate. Obviously, a lot of sports bettors like to hit that. I love Benihana. That's my, if I made any restaurant list, that would be number one for me. Number two is Texas Roadhouse.
Here we go.
Great steakhouse, cheap prices. Yeah. You can't beat it. Number three, Denny's, America's Diner, 24 hours all over the map. You can find one almost anywhere you go in this country. It's part of what makes America great, Denny's. Number four, Sizzler. Sizzler's an old school classic. You go and get the steak and salad bar deal for about $10. I still love Sizzler. It's just hard to find them these days. A couple of pizza places. So there's actually a couple Sizzlers in Southern California. I don't think there are any left in Vegas now. Number five, Dom DeMarco's Pizzeria here on West Charleston in Vegas, out by the Red Rock. Number six, Lou Malnati's Pizzeria from Chicago. Number seven, Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Very underrated. Love that spot. There's one not far from the South Point here. Number eight, P.F. Chang's. Number nine, Javier's. If you like Mexican food, Javier's got the best chips and salsa. I think the best salsa I've ever had. Somebody tweeted. What's that?
Flag on the play, Matt. That's a high-end place at Aria. How'd that make the list?
All right. Now, somebody else tweeted that last week, Paul, and he said, if you get two grilled chicken salads and two margaritas and blah, blah, the bill's $150. I said, look, man, I don't go in and order grilled chicken salad. You go in and get chips and salsa and a couple of tacos, and you're out of there for $40. That's why it's on the list.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
You don't have to order the most expensive thing on the menu when you go there. Number 10, Famous Dave's, another underrated barbecue joint. It's a chain. Not everybody loves it, but to me it's affordable, and it's a great place to eat, great options. I like to get the catfish sticks when I go there. And obviously the barbecue is good as well. Number 11, Waffle House. Some people like Waffle House better than Denny's. I can't understand that. To me, Denny's dunks on Waffle House. and number 12 is Buffalo Wild Wings. Still a classic spot for sports bettors to hang out.
Why so low? I just had it the other day.
I like it a lot. They did a good job. Yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings could have been a little bit higher. Could have been number seven, number eight, Paul, but it's tough. There's a lot of competition. These are the best of list, okay? These are the elite of the elite.
All right. Yeah, good. Good list as well. All right, top 12
what would common you, what man. What would be on your list for top five, let's say, top five common man restaurants?
I would go IHOP. Would you go IHOP?
IHOP was under consideration. I got IHOP somewhere between like 12 and 15. Yeah.
I'll give you one, and they're huge in the Midwest. Perkins. Perkins Diner.
You know, Tiger Woods loves Perkins.
That's when you knew he had a problem. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe it. He went after that. I mean, that is. Okay. Good
great
joke.
Great waitresses at Perkins. I love it.
Yeah. Do you like Perkins?
Perkins is pretty good, yeah.
I would say Perkins, IHOP, Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm trying to think. What do you think of Hooters?
You know what? The food's just not very good. I've been to several Hooters around the country. You don't really go there for the food. I think the food's mediocre at best, so I really did not consider that.
Yeah, and Benihana is a great dining experience. Right. And if you take a date, you can get out of there for probably $100 if you're not drinking wine or that type of thing. You get the steak and lobster, whatever, whip it up. All right, do the tricks.
teppanyaki. Yeah.
Man, I'll have to think. Yeah, you have to think about it, right? I'll have to think about it. Look at that. I came across this because we did the fast food rankings last week. And then the KFC double down. We brought that up. The bacon sandwich where two pieces of fried chicken replaced the bread. I mean, that thing had a ton of calories, and I liked it. But, you know, it has a lot of sodium, as you can imagine. So there was a list compiled of what has more calories than the KFC double down. The Burger King triple whopper. I didn't know this thing existed. 1,200 calories, 76 grams of fat. Is that it?
Is that a lot of fat? Is 76 grams a lot of fat for a sandwich?
I mean,
I don't really know.
Oh, my God. Do they have the double whopper?
That looks good.
Is that still available, Matt? I help us out here on Twitter or email. I mean, I got to go try this and get a picture of the double or triple Whopper. I got to go later today. I thought I was going to do it the other day. The double quarter pounder with cheese.
Outstanding, by the way. This is one, you know, a lot of people knocked McDonald's and how high I had McDonald's on the list. Uh-huh. Did you know worldwide McDonald's sells about $50 million worth of burgers each day, which is about 250 burgers per second?
Oh, good
also,
breakdown.
Paul.
Okay.
Also, this double quarter pounder has really improved dramatically. It's, I mean, if you haven't had the quarter pounder or the double quarter pounder at McDonald's recently, you got to stop by and get it. The quality of the beef is totally different from what it used to be. It's now an outstanding hamburger. I go by at least once a week to get the double quarter pounder. I saw that has only 42 grams of fat. I consider that pretty good.
The Angus mushroom and Swiss burger, 770 calories, 40 grams of fat. The tender crisp chicken sandwich, 800 calories, 46 grams of fat.
Mm-hmm.
The tender crisp garden salad. Look at some of these. Two salads are on there. Where's the other one? Oh, my God. Top 10 fast food items worse than the KFC Double Down. Wow. The Wendy's chicken BLT salad with honey Dijon dressing. 720 calories, 51 grams of fat. I'm trying to eat healthy. All right, a little salad. Oh, my God. It's at the bottom of the list. The Southwest, oh, boy. Wendy's has got a couple on here. The Southwest taco salad with ranch dressing and tortilla strips. Okay, 640 calories. And the bacon, the double baconator. Oh, no. 980. Is that 16 pieces of bacon? Are there 8 strips of bacon on a baconator? Excuse me, 12. Is it 6? Is it 6? So it'd be 12 on the double? How many strips of bacon are on the baconator? I would know that. How do you not know that?
I thought there were 4.
Okay.
Four or six. So it'd be a maximum of 12 on a double. I think it would be 8 strips of bacon, but I'm not sure. I didn't really count it. I just ate it real quickly, Paul.
How many are on the breakfast baconator?
I'm not sure. It's relatively the
all right.
same. Okay, I love the breakfast baconator. I mean, that definitely stepped Wendy's up into a different league when you add the breakfast baconator onto the breakfast menu.
Okay, and you spent a lot of time in Chicago, and you're a Midwest guy. Have you heard of dipping your fries in the Frosty?
No, I won't do that. You and I talked about this last week. I've never considered that, and I won't consider that. Had you heard of anyone doing that before?
I never heard of that, and then people kept saying it's a Midwest thing. I lived there for 20 years. I never heard of, hey, kids, everyone's doing it. Dink your fries in the Frosty. I've never done that. I would never think of doing such a thing. I agree with you on that one. That's not a ringing endorsement for the French fries at Wendy's. So stop telling me, and I like that it's a good menu, but don't come at me and bash the Burger King French fries, and then you're going to tell me, hey, I can't put down the Wendy's fries. I got to put them in the Frosty. Get out of here.
That had never crossed my mind, actually, to dip fries into Frosty. I don't.
Animals.
No.
Absolute animals. I know. I can't believe that. That's all right. That's a good list, too. My God, with some of this stuff.
We had an incredible amount of feedback from the top 25 fast food list.
Yeah, it was great.
Might have to expand that to the top 50 next year, Paul.
I'm all for that. Yep. Tom checking in. Ohio has the double and triple Whopper. Okay. That's good. And I would also have Buffalo Wild Wings in my top 5. There's your top 25 fast food. But the common man, I'd throw Buffalo Wild Wings on there too.
I like Buffalo Wild Wings. That's one of my that's one of my most frequent stops. During the lockdown, the pandemic lockdown, I've probably been to Buffalo Wild Wings to get takeout about 5 times.
It's fast.
Yeah.
They're on it. It's fast. Good wings. TVs everywhere. So overall, an enjoyable experience when you hang out at a Buffalo Wild Wings, as far as I'm concerned. And I could see your anti-Hooters there as well. Although this, you know, you never know what you might encounter at a Hooters as far as the what you're looking at with the girls. Some of them could be on steroids, if you know, catch my drift, which most of them are. And they, you know, that's an extra bonus when you're getting a chicken sandwich or some wings at Hooters.
Right, right.
Very good. Yes, we'll get to Ron Flatter coming up. Well, we'll get a little UFC talk up next. And you won't believe what's going on. You're going to see a lot of this now, as so many states are going to legalized sports betting. My God, some of the prices on these NASCAR events at D.C. We'll get to that next Follow the Money, VSiN, Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans, straight ahead. Ron Flatter with Talk Horse Racing coming up, and Dennis Bernstein with the NHL. At Paulie Howard on Twitter, at Matt Youmans 24/7. These are back-to-back tweets. Rob, I've lived all over Ohio my entire life. I don't know or have ever seen anyone dip their fries in a Frosty. The very next tweet from Jeffrey Lawson. I've been dipping fries in my Frosty for 40 years. Jeez. All right, another one, Brock. Don't knock it till you try it. It's an East Coast thing too. Oh my God. I can't imagine. I can't believe it. I will never dip my French fries in a Frosty. I can tell you that. Wow.
Never really occurred to me as something to do. Didn't get it. Jordan tweeted, said he agrees with me. McDonald's has really upped its quarter pounder game. I'm glad he recognized that as well. And one more from Jacob about, he said he hadn't given Vegas Vacation consideration as a gambling movie until our conversation. It's definitely a gambling movie, and it has to be in the top 10. Paul, if you get a chance this weekend, go back and watch Vegas Vacation.
Okay. You know, I had McDonald's yesterday. God, their fries are good. Oh, they are so good. And then the dog had some fries, too. He likes them as well. Oh, it was his birthday.
It was the dog's birthday, right?
Fifth birthday? He was fine. Yeah, he got some McDonald's French fries. He was a big winner. You can't beat the dollar Coke as well. There he is. There's the guy's sneak attack. the dollar French fries. Look at on yesterday's show. He was eyeing me up because he wanted his birthday treat. Do you like anything in the UFC Saturday, Matt? And I know Lou Finocchiaro, who's phenomenal at the UFC, he really likes Woodley. And Burns has won 7 of 8 coming off a win against Damian Maya. But you know, he said, you know, maybe Woodley, the fame got to him. All the attention got to his head, and he was destroyed by Usman. But he really likes Woodley on Saturday. And
well, the
I'll
problem
tell you,
before we get to the other fights, Paul, the problem is if you like Tyron Woodley, he opened a -150. Now you're paying $180 if you want to lay it with Woodley in that fight against Burns. And even though I lean to Woodley, that's too high a price for me to lay with him at this point. So I missed too late to the party there. Missed the best price. So I'm probably going to pass on that. Anything else that you look to play on this card?
The female fight, Dern. Mackenzie Dern is a $4 favorite.
Right.
She's -110 at PointsBet to win by submission. How about that? And she's high as 460 at FanDuel.
Well, Jordan Sherwood was on with us this week, and he said inside the distance, right? He liked Mackenzie Dern in that fight.
I like
fight.
That, too.
And I think he's got a pretty good angle on that one with Dern. Probably by submission or inside the distance.
I would rather play that -140. I think it was inside the distance as a pope, but I've never seen. I mean, to think $1.10 to win by submission—that's something. And she's done a lot of wins lately with by submission, but that's 7-1 by KO, TKO, or knockout. KO or TKO, -110 by submission, 3-1 by decision, in her fight, and. Well, there was one I was looking at. Lou also likes Ivanov, who's 18-3.
Right.
He's coming. He lost to Derek Lewis, and also Dos Santos. But as he pointed out, two big guys in the cage, and this cage is smaller with the next three events here in Vegas at the Apex. The crew dug this up. It was a good article. 20% more strikes attempted in a smaller cage.
Has nowhere to run. It was a 30-foot cage that they use in Jacksonville. It's going to be, is it 24 this week? Is that right?
I think it's 24, 25, yeah.
Yeah. I think Ivanov is looks like a decent bet there because he's faced such high-class fighters. That's a pick him at minus 110. My problem with this is Augusto Sakai, his opponent, I've never seen fight. We're getting into some of these fights, Paul.
Yes, we are.
On these UFC cards where I know they have to develop new names and new stars, so some of these guys are getting exposure for the first time, but a lot of these fighters at the bottom of this card, I have no idea who they are, and I hate to admit that because I watch a lot of UFC, but some of these guys, I just don't know that much about them.
Yep. On the current episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, owner George Bolton discusses the injury and sudden retirement of Kentucky Derby favorite Nadal. New York Racing Association analyst Anthony Stable looks at the new season at Belmont Park and the revised Triple Crown. Dave Tooley, handicap weekend races as well. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod's available via Apple, Google, iHeart, Spotify, Stitcher, and VSiN.com/podcast. It's sponsored by First Bet. We'll give you Jeff Siegel's picks later in the show. We'll talk horse racing and the controversy with Baffert and Charlotte coming up next on VSiN. Follow the money. Welcome back. What does Dad really want for Father's Day? Steak. For a limited time, you can find a variety of packages filled with beautiful Omaha steaks, plus other premium meats, side dishes, and desserts. All ideal for Dad's special day. These packages come flash frozen, vacuum sealed, and delivered in a cooler with dry ice safely to his door. All backed by Omaha Steaks' unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the code VSiN.
Oh, yeah.
Omahasteaks.com, code VSiN in the search bar. Many packages include free shipping and a free one-pound package of their thick applewood smoked steak cut bacon. Visit omahasteaks.com, code VSiN in the search bar to shop for Father's Day today. A lot to go over with horse racing. Ron Flatter joins us. How about the new? What does this mean for Baffert and Charlatan now with the latest news?
Yeah, with Nadal out, Nadal getting no longer in the Kentucky Derby picture, not going to run in the Belmont, not going to run again at all. His owner, George Bolton, had him on the podcast. You mentioned that before the break. Told me that they could have brought him back eventually, but he said, no, we're not going to risk his stallion career, risk his life. Suffered a condylar fracture. That's right above the knee, big crack in the bone there that was developing. And if he'd have taken one more step on the race course, it could have been fatal. So they discover it after a workout yesterday. They put a couple of screws in. I don't know if we have the x-rays to show you here that actually were sent to me by the owner. But, it was a pretty scary-looking crack that you see there. You can see that if you're watching on VSiN, the app, the .com, the TV, all that. There you see that crack coming up out of the right side knob in that knee. If that had gone all the way through, that bone completely erodes and the horse is gone. So then they end up putting two big screws in there. Saves his life. He's going to be able to be a stallion. And so Nadal being out, he was as short as plus 340 at Circa, 4-1 at William Hill to win the Kentucky Derby. And in offshore futures for the Belmont Stakes, we were looking at about 4-1, maybe a second or third favorite. Now he's completely out of the picture. Tiz the Law becomes the Derby favorite, the Florida Derby winner trained by Barclay Tagg, plus 475 at Circa. William Hill hasn't reposted yet. Charlatan and Authentic are the two Bafferts that are left right now. Charlatan plus 555. Baffert had been talking about cutting him back to a sprint in the Woody Stevens on Belmont Day, but that was when he didn't want to have him competing against his stablemate Nadal. Well, now Nadal out, Baffert's talking about putting Charlatan back in.
What are the penalties with the test?
Well, that's the other big elephant in the room, Polly, because the drug test. It was a first sample. It's sort of like track and field and all that, where they take a sample and split it, and they give you an A test and a B test. And if the A test comes back positive, then they check the B to make sure. And this is a drug called lidocaine. It's basically a heart medicine. And it's legal. but an overdose isn't. So that's the question that we have here. And normally that first sample is supposed to be private, and it leaked out. So somebody wanted, I guess, wanted to get a Baffert and leaked it out. So we're waiting to hear about that. If the second test comes back positive, then Charlton loses that the 100 points he got from the Arkansas Derby to go to the Kentucky Derby. That does not necessarily impact, however, whether he gets into the Belmont Stakes. The New York Racing Association would have to decide that. And by most accounts, they probably let him in. So that's where we stand right now. We're waiting for that B sample to come back.
All right, Ron, let's talk about Del Mar. Quickly announced yesterday that the Del Mar meet's going to open on July 10th instead of July 18th. And it's going to be three racing days a week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No fans as of now. I did hear from a trainer yesterday, said don't give up. There's a chance we will see fans at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club maybe in sometime in August. Who knows? What was your takeaway from Del Mar's announcement?
Well, the first thing is it'll be a lot tamer on opening day than it normally is. But, I mean, it'll be 95% more sober. But the other side of this is the fact they're only 3 days a week is a reflection of the horse population in Southern California, or the lack of it. A lot of horses were moving out of Southern California even before the pandemic because of a lot of the extra rules and regulations that were being put on horses just to get on the track. It was an answer to all the horse deaths last year at Santa Anita. They added restrictions in terms of making sure the vet checks were in place. And it was, maybe you could say, an overabundance of caution or the right amount of caution. That's the debate. But that's a big part. There's just not enough horses to fill 4 and 5 days a week of racing in Southern California. Santa Anita's been 3 days a week all season long.
Right, right. Wondered about that. And also, you know, I thought it was interesting, Ron, in the Gaming Today story I read, said last year at Del Mar, 90% of the betting on that meet was off track.
Yeah, it's getting to be that. Yeah. And it's, we see that reflected. I mean, look, the Arkansas Derby had its record handle this year on May 2nd. This is the very Derby from which the drug tests on the Baffert case have come. $41 million, and that was more than twice as much as the track had ever gotten before. Again, all off track. The way horse economics work, though, tracks get most of their percentage of the handle from on track. All that off track betting goes to other places. Tracks see maybe 3 cents on the dollar out of all that, where otherwise they might be seeing upwards of 15. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting dynamic with Del Mar, that not have the fans there, but it's maybe not as big a loss at Del Mar because of what you just described. And let's face it, if you're on the East Coast, you want to bet late. That's the one track you want to bet in the summer. Mm-hmm.
Anything you like, any picks today or this weekend?
Yeah, I'm looking, you know, Paulie, I'm looking at the fourth race today at Santa Anita. This is for non-winners of two. There's a horse named Info's Treasure that's coming back. Blinkers on for Ian Krulczak. Giovanni Franco will ride 5-1. There's a little bit of speed in this race, and this horse is a closer. Hasn't raced for more than 3 months, and I think part of his slump was he was just racing too much last year. At least I'm hoping that. So it's a three-month break. Coming back, new jockey, and doing so with a trainer that is good at putting blinkers back on a horse. So at 5-1, the number four horse, Info's Treasure, to try to catch the early speed in this mile race and race four at Santa Anita today.
Okay, very good. Tell people what's on your racing pod again, please.
Yeah, George Bolton, the owner of Nadal, talking about just how he found out that his horse is never going to run again, the Kentucky Derby favorite. Also, we have Anthony Stabile, New York Racing Association and Horse Racing Radio Network. And also from here in Las Vegas, Paul Zilm from Circa, talking all about the impact of Nadal being out of the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes on the Ron Flatter Racing Pod for First Bet.
Excellent. Thank you. Good luck,
Thanks,
Ron.
Thanks, Paulie. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Dennis Bernstein up next. Covers the NHL for thefourthperiod.com. His thoughts on the best of five with the qualifying round. What can we expect out of the first two rounds after that? Division winners. Will these guys be in shape? Hub cities, everything NHL with Dennis coming up. And then we'll talk NBA in the last hour as well. UFC with Matt Holt, Keith Smith, Matthew Holt. Busy show coming up. Jeff Davis, a lot of guests to get to. Follow the Money, VSiN, Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans, the Sports Betting Network. All right, back to hockey with Dennis Bernstein as we get to run through everything here. Mr. Hockey, great to talk to you, Dennis, and thanks for getting up early. First of all, what do you think of the plan, Dennis, about what the, with the qualifying round, best of five, and then we get into the real playoffs, if you will, with 16?
More hockey than less hockey? I'm all for it. Look, this is the year that we can experiment with things. Maybe reseeding after the first round of the playoffs, more teams. And Paulie, I think it opens the door for the fact that we can probably go to 20 teams when we get back to normalcy in the 21-22 season. But I think it's great. I think it's exciting. And I think it's going to be great watching, certainly in the first round. You know, NHL playoffs or Stanley Cup playoffs are renowned for first round upsets. I think there could be even, you know, that on steroids. We'll always get to the late July, early August games.
How would you feel if Montreal or Chicago made a deep run?
Yeah, win the games. I have no problem with it. Like, if Pittsburgh's complaining that can't be Carey Price, Paulie, that team won 19 games in regulation this year. They lost to Detroit four times. Like, if you can't beat that team, you don't deserve to win the Stanley Cup. Yeah. You got to be good teams anyway. If anything, you know, Pittsburgh's not playing a good team in the first round. So I have no problem with it. Chicago, you got to watch out. You know, Chicago beat Edmonton in the season series. They had, last time I checked, they got Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews still on the team. And Corey Crawford played pretty good in net this season. So, look, it's going to be a treacherous travel or journey for any team that's going to win the Cup. I could argue, Paulie, as hard as it is to win the Stanley Cup, it could be harder this season because you're going from a three-month standing start. Everybody's the same, and everybody's healthy. I think the level and quality of play, once you get a little further into the playoffs, will be fantastic.
When do you think they can get back on the ice when we can start disqualifying best of five? And what kind of shape do you think these guys will be in? And how long will they need to get into hockey shape or game shape, if you will?
Well, they're only going to get 2 or 3 weeks. And they're going to play a couple of exhibition games each team before we start the play-in round. So I don't know. Here's the thing, Paul. This is not like a lockout. You know, during lockouts, guys could get on the ice privately and train and stuff like that. There's no place to skate at this point. That's the problem. And you can't get access to facilities. So some guys are doing some inline blading and things of that nature. So they're going to need these couple of weeks to get in game shape. But again, the average player is 26 or 27 years old, and they usually stay in shape all year. It's not like in the 70s and 80s, Paul, when, you know, they came to training camp to get in shape. I think for by and large, the messaging has always been, we're going to continue the season, so nobody went crazy and didn't get out of shape. But again, it's a 12-month-a-year sport, Paul, so these guys don't get out of shape. They'll just need some time for their cardio and get their legs a little bit back. So, the first round might be a little choppy, but I think the couple of weeks of practice and a couple of exhibition games will get these guys into relatively decent shape.
I thought I read on Twitter earlier in the week that Bettman said they could leave it up. They'll wait till the first qualifying round is over and leave it up to the teams then about reseeding or bracket. But don't you want this round robin to mean something, right? So what are they playing for if you can't get the one seed? And assuming if you're Boston, you'd like to get the one, and then you could get lucky and draw Montreal, who would be the 12. Don't you think they have to go to reseeding if they want to make this round robin worth something with the four bye teams?
Well, the reason they do bracketing, Paulie, is that it's divisional play normally. Well, now it's not divisional play. It's conference play. So you could reseed, but the top four teams playing round robin, who cares? I don't think Boston cares if they're 1, 2, 3, or 4. I'm interested to see how they will play these round robin games, because they're really meaningless. Like, you got to beat good teams, as I just mentioned. So do you play that hard? Do you hold guys out? I'm not really sure how these top four teams in the East or the West are really going to play these round robin games, because it's meaningless. You're not going to get home ice advantage. You might get the last change. I assume that's what they're going to do. A team who's the higher seeded team is going to get last change. But I question how hard the top four teams are going to play, because you don't want your guys injured either.
Okay.
You know, we're looking at this graphic of the West and the top seeds, Dennis. I was curious, do you think, how confident are you that Las Vegas would be one of the hubs? And if so, do the Golden Knights get any sort of edge by playing at home or not?
I will tell you this. Vegas may not start off as a hub, guys, but the NHL loves Vegas. They love the arena. The I believe it or not, and I know people criticize, how could the ice be great at 110 degrees in July? Well, it is. Yeah. It's one of the best ice surfaces in the league. So I think what you might have is a scenario, and this has been reported before, that you might have the first two couple of rounds in hub cities like Edmonton and Columbus or maybe Pittsburgh, and then for the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final, I think very well may be in Vegas. I think that's the way they may go to award some teams that, because, you know, there's been a push by the Canadian teams about having a one round in Edmonton. The issue there is that there's a 14-day quarantine in Canada right now for anybody that crosses the border. I'm pretty sure the NHL and their member clubs are working with the government there to maybe get that waived. If they do, I think that clears the path for an Edmonton or a Toronto. But I really think at this point, they love the setup. You know, you can go to the Delano and the Mandalay Bay and just cordon people off in there, and the two hotels are attached. So it checks all the boxes. So I think that's what I'm seeing. So you guys could be sitting there in Vegas with the Stanley Cup final, regardless of who gets it. Do I think it's an advantage for Vegas? I do. I think it would be an advantage. Now, what they could do is, you know, look, you're playing a building 250 times, and you're going to have some sort of advantage and some familiarity. Is it a huge home ice advantage? No, because the 18,000 maniacs that, you know, root for the Vegas Golden Knights are not going to be in the building. So I do think if they got that far, it would be a little bit of an advantage. But again, there's nobody in the building. And look, the best team's going to win the cup. And like I said, it's going to probably be the hardest cup to win, I think, of all time.
Interesting. Senior writer of the fourthperiod.com, Dennis Bernstein, our guest, Follow the Money, Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans. How are you on the list? Tell people how big is LA Live, but I hope, fingers crossed, I can meet you at Mastro's and get a steak. You can't dine in till like late July. Hotel rooms, the only thing available is lodging. Everything else is shut down in the hotel rooms. How would LA work, and how big is LA Live?
LA Live could absolutely, look, here's the deal, and this is what Gary said. All 10 cities that are in consideration can host a hub city. It's not if, it is, they can. It's going to be a question of what they like the best. LA Live would be great because the hotel that's attached to LA Live is a combination of the JW Marriott and the Ritz-Carlton, 1,000 rooms, right? And here's the thing, Paul, you know, we're no strangers to hosting big events here, right? We do the Grammys, we do the American Music Awards, and they do it in the LA Live complex, right? So I've seen it. I've gone by when I go to Kings games, they erect fencing. You can't get in there. There's barriers to even drive through there. They can easily pull it off, and they can easily segregate the players. The other thing is that there's an underground passage between LA Live and Staples Center. So these players, when they leave their hotel rooms in the JW Marriott, they don't even have to go up to floor level. They don't have to go to street level. They can just go underneath the tunnels, be shuttled back and forth between the arena and stuff. And the arena's good, but do I think they're a favorite right now? I don't. I'd probably peg it at maybe a 10 or 20% chance LA gets it at this point. Things do change. If the government regulations in Canada don't change, it reduces it to seven cities. That might impact as well. But I think you're looking at teams like Edmonton, cities like Edmonton, Columbus, and Pittsburgh as probably the leaders at this point with respect to hub cities, at least for the first couple of rounds.
Okay. What first round, qualifying round, do you like the most? Or maybe a couple that you're in. I think Calgary-Winnipeg will be dynamite.
Calgary-Winnipeg will be dynamite. Now, the fact that Carolina voted against this setup as a 2014 setup, and they're playing the Rangers, who they went 0-4 against, I think that's really intriguing. Now, Dougie Hamilton will be back. I think Brett Petchy will be back. Sammy Vatanen will be back. So, that again, as I mentioned at the top, all these teams are going to be healthy. So I really like the Rangers' match. And the Rangers were playing great down the stretch. Mika Zibanejad was off the hook, So I think that's a really intriguing matchup. And I like the Edmonton-Chicago thing because Edmonton didn't handle Chicago well. And that's the one team that maybe they play in their home building, but they're going to have trouble with Chicago. So I like those matchups as well. They're not that intriguing to me. And all the chatter about Montreal and Pittsburgh, which I don't understand. If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm really confident going into that series. So I want to see that one because I want to see how Pittsburgh handles it. And they're the one team that had an injury. Now, Nick Bjugstad, who's their third-line center, has a back issue. He's going to have surgery, so he's going to be out. So he's like the one player who probably won't play in these playoffs. So I'm interested in seeing that Montreal-Pittsburgh matchup because all the fear of Carey Price from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, a lot of people like the Blackhawks. I like the Oilers, though, even though I know what happened in the regular season. But the Oilers are only a $1.50 favorite against the Blackhawks.
Well, here's why, Paulie. I'll tell you why. Edmonton had a really nice season, and they had the best power play and best penalty kill in the league, right? Now, when you're coming back from a three-month layoff, chemistry is usually not there off the jump. So what does that tell you? Even with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, they may not have the best power play, which they leaned on. They may not have the best penalty kill. So the special teams play may not be as solid as it was in the regular season. I think that's why that's why Edmonton is not a prohibitive favorite at this point.
Great to talk to you. I hope I see you soon, and hopefully we get hockey here in late July, early August. Can't wait. Thanks for getting up early, Dennis. Love your work.
Always, and always. Hopefully a Stanley Cup final in Vegas as well. See you soon, Paul.
Oh, yes, right. At Dennis TFP on Twitter, senior writer of the fourthperiod.com, Dennis Bernstein.
Is Paul, is Mastro's on the top 12 list for restaurants for the common man?
Didn't make it. No. Got a hell of a pork chop, though. It didn't make it. And Boa right down the street, too. Dynamite. Excellent. Good stuff with the Hub Cities, too. Good information. And more announcements come. I'd go best of five. If I was the NHL, I wouldn't get cute here. Qualifying round of the first two rounds, best of five. That's how I would play it. And we'll see what Bettman in the league decides to do. That's the NHL. The NBA's up next. We'll talk to Keith Smith. His thoughts on seeding 1 through 16, the group stage, as you play, you bring all 30 teams back, the regular season, all this other business. We're going to run everything down with what's on the table. And it's a big day as well, as they're going to present all these plans to the owners. Keith's up next. VSiN, Follow the Money, the Sports Betting Network, Paulie Howard, Matt Humans.